The Housing and Urban Development Department plans to close dozens of field offices. 10% of the staff, or about 900 people, could be affected. Now, when officials made that announcement last month, it came as a surprise to most of those employees, and that includes Eddie Eiches. He is president of the American Federation of Government Employees Council that represents most HUD workers. Since then, Eiches has been meeting with agency officials when they're not on furlough, and he joins us now with an update. Good morning, and thanks for joining us.
Thank you very much for having me.
So update us on your talks with HUD. What are they saying to you, and what are you saying to them?
Well, first, we signed a memorandum of understanding as to furloughs, and we dropped the furlough number from 13 to up to 7. However, the agreement itself says HUD must agree to reduce costs through all possible means and to implement cost savings to reduce the 7 planned furlough days, hopefully to zero. The cost of the savings is that HUD has to reap is about $28 million from these furlough days. Then HUD hits us with the reorganizations, two reorganizations, one a much bigger one, the multifamily, and the other a few small offices, 16 of them. Now, the cost as you're going into those reorganizations is substantial. And we've filed a group grievance stating that this violates, in fact, our memorandum of understanding as to furloughs. That is, they can't reorganize until they basically drop furlough days to we suffered one already on Friday, but we have to go to zero for the rest of the 6 furlough days have to vanish. That's number one. Number two, HUD plans to basically end operations in 40 of the 50 multifamily housing offices around the country. That will cost a substantial amount of money, and it's unclear. And frankly, you know, most of our analyses show that it will actually harm multifamily service. For example, in Baltimore, there's a lot of work done by multifamily in the state of Maryland. The office itself has signed a lease with through GSA, and 35% of the space in Baltimore is occupied by multifamily. The lease is 5 years. What HUD plans to do is move all of these multifamily people to New York City. Relocation costs are substantial. It could be up to $500,000 a person. And then when these employees, assuming this goes through, end up in New York City, they'll have to be paid more because locality pay is much more substantial in New York City. Meanwhile, the Maryland providers of multifamily housing won't have as good feedback, and others will suffer. And a lot of these people have grown up in Maryland. It makes absolutely no sense.
It sounds like in terms of the talks, you and HUD are very, very far apart. But just to look at the places where it would be reorganized, what does the multifamily housing program do? And then there's the Office of Field Policy and Management. What does it do?
Okay, so again, I guess I should talk about the small office closure too, to at least summarize it. So HUD plans to close 16 offices. HUD really, I don't think, has thought through exactly where it wants to close offices in its first lineup of 16. HUD decided to keep an office in every state. So there are offices like in Casper, Wyoming, with one or two people. Now, those offices might very well be able to be closed. And offices like in Camden, New Jersey, and Springfield, Illinois, which don't have any employees left. But some of these offices, like Grand Rapids, just signed, again, new leases. A lot of these employees are outstationed. As HUD said when it described, and a lot of these employees also do multifamily work.
And sorry, but when you say outstationed, or when you mean that the office has no employees, you mean that there are people that are tied to those offices, but they're actually mobile workers. Is that right?
They report elsewhere, right.
Okay.
And if the cost savings is basically a building savings, that is, HUD won't have to lease the space, then there's no reason why these employees couldn't remain in their localities as outstation employees. And that would hold true also for multifamily. I mean, multifamily, the shift is much, much larger. The numbers for small office closings is about 120. For multifamily, we're talking 780. And there's no reason why the employees in Norfolk, instead of moving to New York and costing HUD a lot of money, couldn't remain in Norfolk, serve, of course, you know, Virginia, but report to New York. I mean, it's not like we would object to a change in reporting structure to make it more rational. But what we really don't understand is why people have to physically move, especially when HUD alleged that developers, that is the multifamily housing developers, never go into HUD offices anyways.
Yeah, that was my question. By the way, we're speaking with Eddie Eiches. He's president-elect or president?
I'm president of about 40 HUD locals around
okay.
the country.
And do these, I was going to ask you, if these offices that are being closed, who do they interact with? Does the public walk in to find housing, or do they work with developers, or are they strictly administrative?
So the multifamily operation, again, the much larger one, the offices themselves will not close. The multifamily function and the individuals per the HUD plan will move. The field structure will collapse from 50 multifamily operations to 10. And one way in which this could be done is, as I said, allow the employees to remain in place and simply change their reporting.
But those people don't deal directly with the public. In other words, it's local.
They deal with developers.
Okay.
And they monitor large multifamily housing projects. In fact, their work has doubled on some level, at least the number of multifamily closures since 2009. And that operation is actually quite successful. It's returned $1.2 billion to the Treasury and decreased the overall risk to the FHA multifamily insurance fund. And so they're doing more work. They're doing it better. And now what HUD wants to do is basically disrupt their whole lives.
So it sounds like, though, that there is some sort of flexibility in your stance as you pursue talks with HUD. You're saying that, in fact, if it was just an organizational or a reporting structure, then maybe the centralization makes sense.
That's right. I'm not in a position to really negotiate over how HUD wants to structure its operation. What I can say is, if HUD wants this operation, which on a personal level I don't think makes a lot of sense, if HUD wants it, it could still outstation the employees and do everything, as opposed to basically calculate that HUD will be paying that a lot of employees will not go. HUD will pay buyouts. HUD's estimated 20 million for HUD office space alterations, 6 million office closure costs, 16.8 to 33.6 million in personnel relocation costs. There's an unassessed cost of relocation of work files located in these offices, 13.9 million to 20.8 million in buyouts and terminal leave costs. So it's got all these costs associated with this. And frankly, none of these costs need to be incurred, and HUD still can have its model. And the same thing's true with the small office closings. For sure, I mean, an office, as I said, with one or two people, there's no need to have a physical office. We have virtual offices. These individuals can be out. They're already outstationed, but they can work from home. HUD can provide them with the proper tools from home and save. Basically, on these small offices, mm-hmm. It's basically saving the lease costs.
Yeah. So what is the timetable for your discussions, negotiations with HUD?
So we have filed basically demands to bargain on both of these operations. And I should say also the small office has a multifamily component. A lot of these employees actually are outstationed multifamily workers. So we already have seen an outstation model that actually works. So right now we will probably go to the table to bargain over this, and we can bargain over impact and implementation, which is basically things like allowing the employees to be outstationed in the beginning of June. But we have our group grievance, and we're going to meet on that this week, on Thursday. The group grievance is very, very critical to the point that we really do believe that they can't do any of this massive, you know, they can't engage in these expenditures until they end these furlough days. They can't do the reorganization until we no longer will have those six remaining furlough days.
So it sounds like as you guys get back from your first furlough day, there's a pretty bitter bitterness in the air, if you will, at HUD.
HUD was ranked so low anyway on the Partnership for Public Service surveys. It's the morale now is incredibly low. It is so sad. And we do very, very important work. I mean, work that may not, you know, be as noticed as those waiting in airports, because, you know, we represent literally the poorest Americans. We help people who are homeless, veterans. We do housing counseling, people facing foreclosures.
Sure.
We do the Hurricane Sandy, and we're in Oklahoma now.
Well, Eddie, we'll let you get back to that. We know that you've
Please.
Got a lot of work there. Eddie Eiches is president of the AFGE Council at the Department of Housing and Urban Development, and thanks so much for joining us.
Please, thank you for having me.